To Isaiah chapter 45. Rejoice in the Lord, for he makes no mistakes. That's right. We're going to talk about that today. Isaiah 45 and verse 3. I had no idea what Joanna was going to sing. She had no idea what I was going to preach on. But praise the Lord. It just blended all together. It's wonderful. Isaiah 45, verse 3. It says, "And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, and the God of Israel." And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement of your word. We thank you for the knowledge that we know that you are in control of everything in our lives. And Lord, you can give us joy even in times of trials. We thank you, Lord, for that, knowing that you make no mistakes. And Father, we pray now that you'd bless the preaching of your word. We come to this time. It's an important time. And Lord, I come here and stand before this holy place with awe and fear and trembling, because it's so important as we preach the word of God. Lord, may this be a life-changing time for some of us. We pray that it would count for eternity. Pray, Lord, that you'd fill me now with your Spirit, that you'd bring comfort and encouragement where comfort and encouragement is needed today, we pray. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned earlier that it just seems like the devil is really being busy lately and causing a lot of trouble around here. I think that's true. And between the sickness and some other issues, some other things that are going on, it just seems like a lot of stuff just happens all at once, you know. So I felt that, you know, maybe we need a little encouragement this morning. And I just want us to, you know, I know Diane just recently lost her father, and I know she's still grieving. God bless you, Diane. I know that's hard. You lost your mother about a year ago, and now your father. And I know there's a lot of pain in this room today, and I just want to encourage you today, and I think there's some real encouragement we can find from God's word today. We look at our problems and troubles, and sometimes it's hard for us to see anything good that can come from them. But we read in this verse we read a minute ago that there are treasures in the darkness, treasures of darkness, and in hidden places, hidden riches in secret places. So I'd like to speak today on the subject, finding treasures in the darkness. Finding treasures in the darkness. Now, we have many examples in the Old Testament about this. One of the classic ones, of course, is the life of Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery, as you know. Things went really bad for him. He was just a teenage boy. Can you imagine? Let's see. It'd be somebody about like Caleb over here, or Adam. Where's Adam at? Adam, where are you? I can't see you. Oh, he was here a while ago anyway. And about that age, maybe like Tander over here, a teenage boy, and he was sold into slavery. Hated of his brothers, served as a slave there in Egypt for a while, and then things went from bad to worse. and then he was put in prison for a time. Falsely accused and put in prison. Things went really bad for Joseph. He was going through a very dark time in his life. I wonder if he was ever able to see some treasures that he could find in that dark times. Well, we read the end of the story and we find that yes, he did. And so we read in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20 at the end of the story when his father Jacob had died and his brothers and he were all there in Egypt. And they went to Joseph and they kind of told a lie. They said, our father wanted you to forgive us for what we did. And but Joseph responded in a very kindly manner. Just listen to what he said here. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. You see, Joseph was able to find treasures in the dark hours of his life. He saw God's purpose in it, and he saw that God doesn't make any mistakes. And, you know, Joseph didn't have any bitterness toward his brothers for what they'd done. Why is that? Because he saw God's hand in the whole thing. That God never makes mistakes. That they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. As we look at the story of the children of Israel as they left Egypt some, I don't know, 200 years later. How long was it, Derek? 200 years? 215 years later. We decided a few weeks ago. And and they came to some rather they came to some rather interesting, we might say, dark times in their lives. We understand that they could have gone right directly into the promised land. It was a very short distance for them to go, just along the bottom edge of the Mediterranean Sea there, just walk along the sea, and it wasn't very far at all. They would come into the land of Canaan. But God had another plan for them, and we read in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 and 18, and it says, that, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. That would have been along the Mediterranean Sea, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And so it was a long ways. Now, God intended for it only to be about a two-year trip, and we know it was turned out to be 40 years. But God had some things that he had to teach the children of Israel in the wilderness. And it was the only way they were going to learn. And it was going to be some dark times, some hard times for them. But they had to go through that in order to learn what they needed to learn. Well, we see a couple of instances for that. We won't talk about them all, but the first one was when God actually led them to a place on the shore of the Red Sea where they were trapped. Now, it's very important that we understand that God led them there. This was not an accident. They didn't. By the way, Moses knew. He was their guide. He'd been there. He knew where everything was at. But Moses was listening to God and following God, and God led them to this place where they were trapped. I wonder if Moses was thinking to himself, "Man, I know that place. That is a dangerous place. I mean, if the Egyptians follow us, we'll be in trouble. We'll be pinned up against the Red Sea and the mountains behind us and the Egyptians. And that's exactly what happened, as you know the story. And there they were, trapped along the shore of the Red Sea with the Egyptian army coming at them, and no place to go. No place to go. What a dark time. I mean, they thought they had had it. But they saw God do a miracle, didn't they? And open up that Red Sea, and they walked across on dry land. Well, that was one lesson God had to teach them in a time of a scary time, a time of darkness. But there was another time shortly after that, as they went along down into the Sinai Peninsula there, God then led them, again, this is very important, God led them to this second place. It was a place where there was water, all right. Now, again, Moses likely knew that that water was no good. But yet God, or Moses being obedient to God, led the people where God said to take them. And sure enough, the water was bitter. The water was no good. The water had death in it. And you know the story about how God told Moses to cut down a tree and throw the tree into the bitter water, and the water would be made sweet, and it was. Another miracle. You see, God was teaching them. By the way, what a wonderful picture that is of the cross of Christ. Amen. When we throw the cross, what Jesus has done for us on the cross, his precious shed blood, into the midst of our darkness, we can find relief, can't we? We can find peace right in the midst of darkness. And so there were many other lessons as well that they had to learn there in the wilderness. We won't take time to go through all those, but there was a lot of dark times. There was times of hunger. There was times of thirst. Things that God had to teach them. They were not yet prepared to fight in the Canaanites. God, by the way, they had, Derek was saying, they had been in Egypt for 100 or 215 years and learning how to be slaves. Yeah, they weren't slaves to start with, but it wasn't long before they were slaves. Now you think, well, that isn't very long. But you know what can, just think about what can happen in 215 years. If you look at our own country, the last 215 years, now we'll take this slavery issue and we'll turn it around backwards, okay? We had a black president of the United States whose ancestors probably was a slave, okay? 215 years ago. So a lot can happen in 215 years, is what I'm saying. And the mentality of these Israelites had so grown to being accustomed to slavery that they had no thought of rebellion. They had no thought. I mean, they had no thought of war. They had no practice with war. They were unequipped to fight the battles in Canaan. That's why God said, they're going to be afraid. They'll run. They won't be able to do this. I need to train them in the wilderness. I need to train them first in some times of darkness, you see. They need to find some treasures, in other words, in the darkness. What questions do we ask when dark times come in our lives? Do we ask questions like, well, are dark times all bad? They feel like it. don't they? Or we might ask the question, why did God let this happen? Why did God let this happen? Why couldn't God prevent this from happening? Well, that's kind of an attack on his omnipotence, isn't it? Certainly he's God. He's all-powerful. Certainly he could have prevented it from happening. Well, and if that's the case, then why is God being mean to me? Those are questions we ask, aren't they? A lot of whys. Why? And sometimes we may never know the answer to those questions in this life. But he does tell us to trust him, doesn't he? Lean not unto our own understanding. Trust in the Lord, but lean not unto our own understanding. Psalm 119, 75 says, he kind of answers these questions for us. Is God being mean to me? Psalm 119, 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. In God's faithfulness, he has brought us through some darkness. That's a hard one, isn't it? Hard to understand that. Well, what about Proverbs 3, verse 12? For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the father the son, in whom he delighteth. Correction is never fun. Correction is kind of a dark time. But it's because of his love for us that he brings us through those things. Job chapter 5, verse 17 says, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Can we be happy about it? Well, Joanna sang that song a while ago about that, didn't she? Because God makes no mistakes. We can be happy about it. You know, I've been looking through the book of Job. Of course, Job is a classic book in regard to this subject of trials. But I noticed the word darkness in the book of Job. It is used so many times. Darkness. By the way, Larry and Trevor told me ahead of time they had to leave at 1 o'clock, so don't worry about that. But darkness. Job went through some very dark times, didn't he? Darkness. 28 times in the book of Job that word is used, darkness. It was dark. I want to give you 6 treasures that we can find in the darkness of our lives, okay? 6 treasures that we can find in the darkness. Number 1, dark times are actually just a shadow of the Lord. Psalm 91, verse 1, that says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You see what's happening when you think you're going through a dark time in your life? Actually, you're just under God's shadow. Huh? You look at it that way. His overarching self over you is casting a shadow upon you, and it feels like darkness to you, but that's how close God is to you in that time of darkness. You see? It's just God's shadow. You see? God dwells in the darkness. Do you know that? God dwells with you in the darkness. That's what Solomon said in 2 Chronicles 6:1. The Lord has said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. He does. But he meets you in the darkness. And he overshadows you in the darkness. Secondly, you know that God can see in the dark. You say, well, of course he can see in the dark. But, you know, sometimes we don't feel like maybe he can see in the dark. Psalm 139, verses 11 and 12 says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Verse 12, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as a day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. It doesn't matter whether it's dark or not. God sees everything in the dark. He sees us in the dark. God's not afraid of the dark. I remember when you were a kid. I can remember being afraid of the dark when I was a kid. And there'd be in the bedroom there. There'd be a bathrobe hanging on the in the corner or something of the room there. It'd be kind of, you know, not completely dark, just enough light so I could kind of make out a outline of that bathrobe. And oh, I used to get so scared, you know, that bathroom. God can see in the dark. He sees, what does he see in the dark? He sees your tears and he sees your fears in the dark. He sees the pathway before you in the dark. You ever go walking in the woods at night without a flashlight? There's nothing darker than that. I remember one time we hiked over Mount Margaret up by Mount St. Helens, 50 years ago or so, before the mountain blew up. And it was supposed to be a, you know, 2 or 3 hour trip. And it turned out to be a 14 hour trip. And I was exhausted. And my wife, Tyler was still a baby. And so she, you know, she was doing it. And anyway, I remember my mother-in-law. She was so tired. She was crawling up the pumice slopes, you know. She was just about shot. Oh, it was terrible. And the worst part of it was that the last hour it turned dark, and we were in the woods. I mean, tall timber woods, and I've never seen such darkness as that before. I mean, you couldn't see the hand in front of your face. And we had to try to stay on the path, you know, in the dark. And you just kind of feeling your way along and hoping you don't trip over something or fall off the edge of something or whatever. And finally, my father-in-law, he ran ahead. I don't know how he made it. He was quite a ways ahead of us and brought a lantern back. Oh, what a relief that was when he came with that lantern, you know. God can see the path in front of you in the dark, you know that. You're going through a dark time in your life, you don't understand it. God sees the future. He sees where you're going. He sees what you where you need to take the next step, doesn't he? He gives us his word to lead us and guide us. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In dark times, the word of God will guide you. Number two, God sees in the dark. Number three, there are treasures to be found in the dark times. Specific treasures. Now, the whole message is about treasures in the dark. but specific treasures to be found in the dark. In Isaiah 53, 45 verse 3 again, our text verse. Let me read that for you again. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. There are very specific treasures to be found in the dark. And one of those treasures is the treasure of endurance, strength. You gain strength, you gain endurance from going through dark times in your life. Do you know that? The Bible tells us that, in fact, in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now that word patience, you know, some of us like to think, well, oh, patience, I don't want to have patience. You know, I'm very impatient. And that's not what the word means, okay? The word means endurance. Patient endurance, I guess. And so, what do we gain? Well, one of the treasures that we find, one of these specific treasures we find, is endurance from times of trials, from the dark times. Another treasure that we find is prayer. A closeness to God that we didn't have any other way. Do you know that? I have found in my own life that when I'm going through dark times, I pray more. Anybody else besides me experience that? Yeah, we all do that, don't we? We pray more. You know what? God really likes us to pray. He likes us to talk to Him. And if we're not praying, God might just take us through a little dark time in our life just to get us to pray even. I don't know. But we can find that treasure, that blessing of prayer, and that closeness to God in prayer in those dark times. What a treasure that is. We can also find the treasure of blessings from God's Word in the dark times. Verses that never meant much to us before all of a sudden become alive and just kind of explode in our hearts with meaning, don't they? Let me give you some examples. Comfort verses have little meaning to us if we're never uncomfortable. Fear verses have little meaning to us if we've never been fearful. Encouragement verses have little meaning to us if we've never been discouraged. Persecution verses don't mean much to us, and they don't mean much to us in America, to be honest with you, if we've never been persecuted. But when we're going through those dark times, and one of those things, we're going through a time of great discomfort in our lives, and we find those verses of comfort, what a blessing. Those verses just blossom then in our hearts, don't they? And the same with encouragement and so on. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 119, 103. And this is how God's word ought to be to us all the time. But for some reason, it just almost can't be unless we're going through something where we really need it, you see. Going through a dark time. Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I think the psalmist was... I've been going through some dark times, and he found the sweetness of God's word so precious to him. I love pictures of lighthouses. I like to go visit lighthouses. Not every time we go down to the beach, we go to the Lighthouse, but frequently. And lighthouses mean a lot. I had a guy one time paint me a picture of a lighthouse. I still got the picture somewhere. And I led the fellows to the Lord many years ago. His name was Doyle. And he painted me a picture. And he said, I'm that lighthouse. Well, I'm not really the lighthouse. Jesus is the lighthouse. But I like lighthouses. Lighthouses are not so important in a bright, clear day, are they? But they are very, very important to a sailor or to a captain of a ship when there's a storm brewing, hurricane velocity winds in a dark, dark night. What a blessing the lighthouse is. When David was going through a very dark time in his life, fleeing from Saul, Saul had tried to kill him 3 times. He was a fugitive, hiding in caves wherever he could, running from Saul. There was a psalm that is recorded in Psalm in 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 29. It's really a psalm of David, and this is what he says: "For Thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." In the darkness, you can see the light better. One of those treasures that we find in the darkness is the light of the lighthouse, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number 4, dark times provide the best times for spiritual growth. Dark times provide the best times for spiritual growth. It's trite but true. No pain, no gain. God, I believe God teaches us the most and grows us the most in dark times. For Melissa's birthday, I bought her a grow light. It's a pretty good size grow light, about this wide, about this long, about this wide. And pretty nice grow light. And she hung it there in the living room. Our living room has become a garden, by the way. And and she's got this table set underneath the grow light. And she has all these little starts, vegetables, you know, little tiny things like that, and with seeds spread out over all this table. Well, for about the first several days, she left the light on every day. And on every night, all the time, 24/7. And pretty soon, little seeds began to sprout after a few days, you know. They sprouted a little bit, you know, and they just kind of sat there, just stuck their little heads up, you know. How they do. It's kind of fun to watch that kind of stuff. I always like that. And but then she got thinking that, you know, a more natural thing would be for to turn that light off during the nighttime and have it on the daytime, because that would be what would be natural to the plants. And maybe that would be better for them. And so we tried that. And she turned the light off one night. Guess what happened? Next morning, I went out there, and I looked at that, and I couldn't believe it. those little tiny sprouts that were only, weren't even an eighth inch tall, overnight, in the dark, had grown 2 inches. I was amazed. I said, whoa. Melissa said, well, they were looking for the light. Huh? I thought, man, what a wonderful spiritual illustration that is. You know, we grow the most in the dark. In the dark times of our lives. Yeah, and when the light's shining and everything's going fine, everything, yeah, we're a little sprout there, you know, we're there. Yeah, we love the Lord. Yeah, we come to church. Yeah, we read our Bible. Yeah, we pray and all that kind of stuff. But when the dark times come, whoa, we do some serious growing, you see. Psalm 16, verse 7 says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. When does instruction come? In the night seasons, in the darkness, is when growth comes. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, I read the first 2 through 3 a minute ago, but I want to read the next verse too. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials. Why? Well, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience or endurance. And then verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What does the word perfect mean? It means mature. In other words, we grow into maturity when we get endurance. And how do we get endurance? We get endurance through the dark times, you see. And so there we have growth that comes as a result of the dark times. A story is told about a Vietnam vet. His name is David. David was not just a soldier in Vietnam, but he was in the Special Forces. And was therefore in some very dangerous situations. One time, he and his fellow soldiers were pinned down by machine gun fire. And David stood up with a grenade in his hand to throw it at the machine gunists. He brought his hand back like this, and a bullet hit the grenade in his hand and it exploded. The next thing David knew, he was laying in the mud watching his half of his face float away. Somehow, miraculously, he thought he was dying, of course. Somehow, miraculously, his fellow soldiers were able to get him out of there and get him to medical help. He spent much time in the hospital. First, they had to do surgery to get the implanted phosphorus and shrapnel out of what was left of his face. But they had a problem. You see, when phosphorus is exposed to oxygen, it ignites. Poof! So as the doctors began to operate and open him up, different parts of his face to get the shrapnel out, they would hit a pocket of phosphorus and it would go poosh, blow up. And of course, there was oxygen there to keep him alive. And the doctors and the nurses were so scared they left the room. Left him laying there. Somehow, miraculously, he survived that surgery. And as time went on, he had to go through many, many more surgeries. He was never going to look reasonable again. He was going to look like a monster. David was laying in a hospital room recovering, and his wife had not yet been there. But he wasn't in the room alone. There was another soldier there that was also brutally mangled. This other soldier lost a leg and lost an arm, and his face was all scarred, messed up. This other soldier's wife came to see him. She walked in and she began to be nauseated just looking at him. And she just said, "I can't do this. I can't do this." And she took off her wedding ring and put it on the nightstand and walked out. He was so shook by that, he couldn't even speak. His voice box was messed up and everything. But he just made some guttural sounds. He was weeping and shaking, and the poor guy died in 2 days. Anyway, David saw this whole thing. 3 days later, his wife was going to come and see him. And he thought, "Oh no, I dread this. I don't know what's going to happen." She comes. But his wife was a strong Christian. And David also was a good Christian. When his wife came in, she came in and she just tenderly said, "David, I love you." And she bent down, and the only place on his face that wasn't bandaged, she kissed him. And she said, "David, no matter what it takes, we'll get through this together." And what a strength that was for him, of course. But so after many more surgeries and operations, you know, and time went on, he recovered. But he looked really bad. After some time, after several years, he was interviewed on national TV. And this was what he said on national TV. "I am twice the person I was before I went to Vietnam. For one thing, God has used my suffering to help me feel other people's pain, to have an incredible burden to reach people for Him. The Lord has let me have a worldwide positive effect on people's lives because of what I went through. I wouldn't trade anything I've gone through for the benefits my trials have had in my life, on my family's life, and on countless teenagers and adults I've had the opportunity to influence over the years." You see? Dark times provide the best soil for growth in our lives. Last week in our bulletin, I put this quote, and I want to quote it to you again because I think it says a lot. "A clay pot sitting in the sun will always be a clay pot. It has to go through the white heat of the furnace to become porcelain." And folks, listen. If you've never gone through dark times in your life, well, you're kind of the loser, you know that? I hate to say that. But it's okay if there's some dark times. There's treasures to be had in those dark times. And you say, man, you just can't convince me of this bad thing that's happening to me as being something good. Well, but it is. Isn't that what we've been talking about? There are treasures to be found in the darkness. Number five. Dark times do not have to be feared. Dark times do not have to be feared. So the conclusion really of the whole matter after we look at all this is that they don't, you don't have to fear. We are safe in God's hands no matter what, aren't we? John 10, 27 and 20, through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave me them, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see, we're safe in the hand of Jesus, and we're safe in the hand of the Father at the same time. Psalm 91:55 says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. We don't have to be fearful of the dark times, you see, because there's treasures in the darkness. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And we see the encouragement that Moses gave to Joshua at the end of Moses' life. Joshua was about ready to take over command and lead the children of Israel across the Jordan River and march against the Canaanites. And this is what Moses said to Joshua, Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord said, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And then God reinforced that again to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, where it says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So basically the same thing. And the interesting thing about this is that Joshua learned that in all the battles of Canaan. Because after that, he went to battle. And he fought the Canaanites, and he won over the Canaanites. And then at the end, after it was all over with, and the land had been subdued, and there was great victory. In Joshua chapter 10, and verses 24 and 25, Joshua then said to the people, and it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, this was the last of the kings now that they fought against, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. Now listen to what Joshua said. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. You see, once you experience the treasures of God in the dark times of your life, once you experience those things, then you can help somebody else in the dark time, can't you? A.B. Simpson said this, you will have no test of faith that will not fit you to be a blessing if you are obedient to the Lord. I never had a trial But when I got out of the deep river, I found some poor pilgrim on the bank that I was able to help by that very experience. You see. Amen. Number six. Where there is a night, where there is darkness, where there is a night, there is a morning. Amen. Psalm 30, verse 5, for his anger endureth but for a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. There's always a morning. The light will break through. Praise the Lord. Here's a little poem. It's called Out of the Darkness. Out of the dark, forbidding soil, the pure white lilies grow. Out of the black and murky clouds descends the stainless snow. Out of the crawling earth-bound worm, a butterfly is born. Out of the somber, shrouded night, behold, a golden morn. Out of the pain and stress of life, the peace of God pours down. Out of the nails, the spear, the cross, redemption, and a crown. Amen. Revelation chapter 21, verse 25, and again in chapter 22, I'm sorry, 21, verse 25, and 22, verse 5, both places it says this: there shall be no night there. Amen. See, there's coming a day when there won't be any more dark times. It's going to be all light. All day. And we have a wonderful thing to look forward to, don't we? Where there is a night, there is a morning. And that morning is going to last for eternity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 45, verse 3, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden treasures of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Listen, I know some of you are suffering. Some of you are going through some hard times. But I want to encourage you today. Make that dark. Respond properly in that dark time. And it'll be a time of growth for you. It'll be a time of blessing for you. It'll be a time when you find God is real in a way that you've never been able to find him any other way. But in those dark times, it can be a blessing. It can be a joy. Because God makes no mistakes. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the encouragement of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that when we do go through those dark times in life, you are there. You never abandon us. You never forsake us. It is but a shadow of yourself, and we know your presence is there, walking with us to the valley of the shadow of death. And Lord, we are so grateful for the peace and rest that you can give us in those dark times. Thank you, Lord, for the darkness, for the dark times. Lord, may we be grateful for that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.